Good afternoon and welcome into a pretty special Woods and Water, South Carolina. We're live.
Yeah, we are.
Live. I mean, like, live.
Like, live.
Like, live. Come on, Neil, speak up. I'm trying to goad you into doing this now. We're live.
Oh, he's
shy.
We
are live. We are live at the 50th Bassmaster Classic.
That's right, we are.
Birmingham, Alabama.
And we are in the BJJ Center.
The bowels of the BJ Center. Okay. Birmingham, Jefferson County, Coliseum, Civic Center, Expo Center.
Yep.
They got it all.
They got it all.
Good wording, Neil. Good wording.
Got it all. And, of course, we're having issues with the, gosh, I hate this. Anyway.
Well, it's, but you know what? Just like the anglers have had their fair share of challenges on the water, just like you're having challenges with your video here. It's it happens to the best of us, and the ones that are able to overcome the little challenges. The ones that are able to overcome the little challenges are the ones that that find a way to win.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're going to win this hour. How about that?
Okay.
Yay!
All right. We're going to win this hour. All right.
Positive thinking, people.
Positive thinking. I'm trying to think. So anyway, it's yesterday, rough day. Holy smoke. If y'all haven't been watching live and you've heard a little bit, I marshaled yesterday. I haven't been this beat up since like 15 years ago when I decided to go offshore and it was 6 to 7 foot waves. Bass boats are not comfortable in 3 to 4 footers. But
but you know what? It was a very challenging day.
Oh yeah.
It was guys had to find a way to get it done yesterday, grind it out. I know it's one of our favorite words, but it really was. It was cold. It was windy. There were white caps.
Oh yes.
On the lake, and obviously somebody found a way to do it because there was a guy that brought 29 pounds to the scales yesterday.
Really? Can you believe that?
Yeah.
And he did it in a variety of ways.
Yes.
And I'm sure we'll talk about that.
But yeah, it was rough out there. There was a 20 to 25 mile an hour winds practically all day. You know, when you have 53 boats launching in one little stretch of water, there's a lot of turbulence. So they're pulling somewhere around 1 million gallons of water out of this thing. Is that per hour? I don't know how many. What's the time frame on that? Because I heard the statistic, but I didn't hear what time frame it was.
I don't know. They're turning water and actually the wind was blowing the opposite way,
right up the river.
Yeah, in which they were pulling water, which made the water that much rougher to be on.
And but yeah, it was you know, I was with Patrick Walters, and he was searching, which is like what I think a lot of guys do. And you always look at them on TV and they look calm, you know, and they're fishing and all that. But there's a lot of behind the scenes that you don't see. I got to do this because I got to try. I got to see if it'll work, and then I can kind of check it off the list of things not to do. Or if it works and I've stumbled into something. Because from what the guys were telling me from practice ending, they had a lot of water come down river, rain upstream came down, and the water came up some, and it cleared up. When we were on one of Patrick's spots, he said, "This was dirty water during practice, right off the main channel, and it cleared up." I mean, it was, you know, when we're talking clear, we're talking, it wasn't 6 feet clear, but 2 to 3. And he said, "It's just, and it's ruined the fishing. The bite I was on here was a stained water bite." And so we spent a lot of yesterday looking for more stained water. But you're right. You know, he came out with 12 pounds and Hank Cherry, 29 pounds. And he was fishing the stuff that Patrick said I ought to be fishing. I ought to find a bridge and fish a bridge. And we tried to. Browns Creek, the entrance to Browns Creek yesterday afternoon. 3 to 4 foot, white caps. I mean, Patrick was, we were so close to the to the rocks on the upwind side. He lost his footing a couple times, stumbled in front of the boat, and I'm thinking, yeah, if he stumbles and goes in, we're in those rocks like that. I mean, it's and but the, he knew in his head, he knew where he needed to be, but he was trying mentally to go through his checks of places he practiced to where he should be, and then that's where he should have been.
Yeah, and sometimes it's those, it's hesitating on decisions like that that are the difference between a 29-pound bag and a 12-pound bag.
That's right.
Exactly.
You know, when you're, and we just heard this, you know, we hosted a Bass University event in January there in Anderson. I think both of you participated in it. And I think one of the anglers said, you know, more often than not, when your gut tells you to do something,
go do it.
Do it.
Yep. That's exactly right. What, Brandon? Brandon's got two fish for the tournament, one yesterday, one today.
So he's consistent.
He's consistent. And he had one fish on the first day at St. John's. What do you think? You think it's just conditions? Do you think he's, I don't know what, because he came in here in the FLW tournament back in, I think it was 16 or so, and did really well in February.
Yeah, I remember that.
But totally different conditions.
Well, yeah, but familiar with the lake? I mean, what do you think?
You know, first of all, he's a tremendous angler.
So, oh, absolutely.
I mean, let's just go ahead and get all that part out of the way. I mean, he's here because he's a tremendous angler.
That, okay? Granted, and nobody's calling that into question.
And there's a lot of guys that didn't catch fish yesterday. He's just one of them. It was one of those deals where, like, he, you know, and he and I talked this morning, and he said, you know, everything that I thought would work yesterday didn't work. And at a point, it became very clear to me that what I was doing wasn't going to work, and I didn't have a backup plan.
Hell.
And so I think you saw that play out over the course of yesterday, and it's obviously played itself out again today. Here's the thing. I mean, this is they call it the Super Bowl of bass fishing for a reason.
Right.
Okay? And the other part of that is there is, and you and I have been here since Wednesday. And
correct.
We've had this conversation. We've heard this conversation. There are guys that are fishing their first, there are like 30 guys in this 53-man field this week that are fishing their first Bassmaster Classic.
That's correct.
This is not a traditional four-day tournament.
It's not.
This is an event that happens to have a bass tournament in it. And so if you're not, you have to have some experience to that, or you have to be able to handle that type of situation, or else it carries into everything that you do that week. There's dinners that you have to make. There's media obligations. There's local event obligations. I mean, we've hosted this thing twice since I've been at Visit Anderson, and there's far more that goes on away from the water than actually on the water that are a part of the event. And if you're not, I mean, and I'll say this, I don't mind. Brandon fished his career at FLW. He made the championship every year. The FLW championship does not hold a candle to Bassmaster Classic.
No, it does not.
And so while having fished in a championship format has helped prepare him for a championship format, it's the extraneous stuff that goes on outside of the bass tournament that I think I heard him say, and I heard some other guys say this weekend talking to him, that, you know, we haven't even started fishing yet, and I'm exhausted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you're that way, mental fatigue sometimes is worse than physical fatigue.
Right.
It plays a big factor in your performance. Yeah.
It does, and it affects you right on down the line. And those guys, I mean, there's new products being rolled out here. There's commercials being done here. And there's all these things, and it just happens to be a fishing tournament. So I think it's one of those things. It's been a great learning experience, not just for Brandon, but for a lot of guys.
All right. Well, hang on. We'll be back after the break. More Woods and Waters live from Birmingham, Alabama, in the 50th Bassmaster Classic. Welcome back to Woods and Waters, South Carolina. We're live from the Bassmaster Classic. If you are on Facebook at the Woods and Waters site, you can see we got kind of a pretty cool backdrop back here. We're We're in the press room where they're going to have the final press conference tomorrow with all the pictures. So we got the Academy Bassmaster Classic presented by Hook logo behind us here, and it's a pretty cool place to be. We see it from the outside. We see live, or we go to the expo and see it. We watch them launch in the morning and all. Let's talk a little bit about what they go through before they get here, or when they get here early, because their week starts with the practice.
Well, it started last Friday.
Friday with practice. Mm-hmm. So they practice Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Guys, sunrise to sunset, or your windows, and you're on the water Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then you have the mandatory off day on Monday, Tuesday. And basically the mandatory off days are registrations.
Right.
Your registration. There's a social that is put on with the sponsors for all the anglers that are here. There is a dinner. There's some type of charity event involved. Usually it's a trip to a children's hospital or something along those lines.
Right.
There are media obligations, whether it's working with a sponsor,
right,
or working with the local media, of the host city or whatever. And then you've got Wednesday of tournament week is the official practice day.
Yep.
Well, official practice is handled just like day one of the tournament. You have guys come to the lake, they launch. Yep. There's a national anthem, a prayer. Like, it's a dry run for day one to
Friday.
Make sure all the kinks. Yeah, that, for Friday, make sure all the kinks are out. So you have that practice day followed by Night of Champions, which is a celebration banquet event where all the previous year's champions are recognized. Case in point, this week, we're in the hotel lobby. Red carpet begins at 6:15. A group of guys come in at 5:20 because they've just come in off the water from practice on Wednesday. And so you think about it. Now, also, much different than a regular tournament, your families are here because all the participating anglers are qualified anglers.
That's true.
Their families get a room. You get a hotel room. Most anglers stay at the lake, but the families stay here in the rooms. So now you're a Matt Airy, for example. Matt came off the lake. He got in the hotel at 20 after 5. He's got together his wife, his his two daughters.
Who's watching right now. And hello, Emily.
the lovely Emily.
Yes.
One of my favorite people in the world.
Yep.
But so now you've got the family dynamic part of this, because as a man with a family, like, you feel a sense of responsibility outside of the competition part of it.
Sure.
So now you've got the dinner on Wednesday night. You've got media day on Thursday.
Well, and they did something. And they were here. They were there at
8 o'clock
Thursday morning.
The guys had to come. They do a walk through just like they do practice on Wednesday. They do a dry run of the arena part of this event. So for those guys, their day ended late. And I can say this on the radio, right?
Sure.
Their day ended later than normal. On Wednesday night, due to Scott Canterbury's long AOI speech, it went a little later than normal. But they had a late night Wednesday night. They're back in 7:30, 8 o'clock on Thursday morning for a media day that, because of the weather and some logistical things, didn't end till almost 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then the guys that are staying at the lake have a 72-mile ride to the lake.
Back to the lake.
To prepare for an event that starts at 7 o'clock the next morning.
Yeah.
So it is truly a mental and physical grind before you ever put your first line in the water.
And you alluded to it earlier. Those guys, I mean, they're just ready to go fishing.
Yeah.
They are so tired of the off-the-water stuff.
Matt and I had that same conversation during media day. I asked him, I said, you're probably to the point now where you're ready to go fishing just to get a break.
Yes.
From everything else. And the guys, and that's what's not surprising to me, that right now the leaderboard has guys with previous elite and classic experience in it.
Yeah.
John Cruz, Hank Cherry,
Jason Williamson,
yep. Brandon Lester. I mean, Todd Alton's a veteran of this sport.
Right.
And so guys that have that kind of experience, they're able to pull off of that, where this has been a learning experience for a lot of guys. It truly is a grind.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Mute that. Yeah, it's and then they get to go fishing, and you start off with a day.
But here's the thing, though. You go back. It's as much about the business side of it as the fishing.
Exactly.
I mean, this really is.
This is a huge business event.
It is.
Also, the Classic, which is just over that way, is a huge business thing.
Oh, there's tens of thousands of people rolling through the expo yesterday, today, tomorrow. I mean, it truly is the grandest event in all of bass fishing. It's called the Super Bowl for a reason. Yeah.
Anything you've seen since you've been up the expo, speaking of the expo and all, anything just kind of jumped out at you, or just seeing a lot of the same people you know, and anything new up there?
There's, I think, 6 or 8 companies that are rolling out new products and some new things, new launches this week. I thought, you know, that's always important because this event features that type of stuff. People realize the importance and the impact that a Bassmaster Classic makes, so they bring their new goods and their best stuff to the table for this event. There's great deals on rods, reels, and baits.
Yeah.
I mean,
including Mustang PFDs.
I did see that yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought the one thing that jumped out, yeah, if we're all always preaching safety and always talking about things like to make us safe, Mustangs, their life vest. I think it's AS100,
which is,
that's what it is.
It's the standard.
It's the traditional life
jackets. Traditional life jackets, yeah.
And Mustang, obviously the leader in the industry in that area, $50 a pop. Has he bought yours yet?
Not yet, but I'm expecting one.
We'll have to come out there
for tomorrow.
You should. So, and I think the expo closes at 7:00.
Okay.
So you're gonna need to lead them right up there. It's in the far end of the building, up the escalator, and they've got a large selection available.
The reason he's telling me is because so I can take you there and make you buy me one.
Thanks, Neil.
I'm just.
Hey, Neil's like got my back since what, 2015?
I do. I do. So she absolutely. And here's the deal. So, and also the regular, the inflatable PFDs are, their elites are, they have a gray one. It looks really good too. They're on sale for $140, and if you get those, you get a free pair of gloves. So, I mean, you need, and you know this, being a young lady, you need options when you go shopping.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yes.
See? I'm going to send you with Neil. This isn't Neil by it.
We just need to take the credit card.
Because
I can find my way up there.
Oh, my goodness. Taylor, you haven't been out much up here. We got through the expo just a second, got the AFCO booth.
Yep.
Busy place.
Very busy, very busy. Yep.
Casey Shedd is here, and they're already out of one of their rain suits, and wasn't even lunchtime on Saturday yet. So it's this as opposed to the ICAST. This is a buyer's market. This is everybody can come.
Well, it's a consumer show.
It's a consumer show. That's exactly right. Yep. So. I'm sorry, we're arrangements here.
this is a lot harder than it looks.
Event logistics and coordination, it'll trip you up every time. And listen, and while we're talking about logistics, it's pretty cool. I got to get we may be pressed for time today on our Green Pond Landing calendar of events.
Yes. Oh, we're going to get
Let's
to that.
Go ahead and get our Green Pond plug in. How cool was it to come down here? It's the 50th Bassmaster Classic.
Yep.
And how cool was it to see, if you watch live and you notice this from back home, tournament director Trip Weldon, two days at launch, has been wearing his Green Pond fleece stocking cap that was somehow provided to him by the great folks from Anderson County. And he has, with all the things that he had to protect his noggin with, it was the Green Pond cap. And so I told somebody yesterday, I said, you don't realize how big a deal Green Pond is until you see the tournament director at Bass walk out on the dock for the 50th Bassmaster Classic day 1 and 2, and he's got your logo on his head when he could have when there's so many others to choose from. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And I thought he was going to come on here and say something about, wasn't it really cool to walk out there and see four guys who qualified for this event at Lake Hartwell Green Pond Landing event who are at the Classic.
We're on Trip's hoodie.
Well, not just four guys.
Beanie hat.
Not just four guys, because they did. Cam Starrett, Cody Holland, Taylor Smith, and
I'm not going to be
Josh Busby.
Yes.
All qualified for the Classic via Lake Hartwell.
Yep.
But also Caleb Summerall, who fishes the Elites now. Qualified for the Elites and for the Classic by winning the Bassmaster or Bass Nation Championship in 2017. Yep. So Lake Hartwell has put a handful of guys in this Classic, which is really cool. But yeah, Trips Beanie did take the lead there.
Trips Beanie, and you know it's funny, he came by me twice yesterday morning on the dock, and I noticed he had a beanie on. I did not notice.
I don't think I've ever seen Trip in a beanie before.
Mostly baseball hats or nothing at all.
Yeah.
Well, what I will tell you, and you haven't been to launch yet, we're going tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow, yes, sir. We'll be out in the water tomorrow, too.
So what I would tell you is the first 2 days, everybody needed a beanie.
Yes.
I believe it.
It was colder this morning than it was yesterday morning.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. It was very chilly this morning.
I just hope the water's a lot calmer tomorrow.
Yeah.
When I got my media marshal assignment, there's just no way I could go out. Just no way. I don't think I could hold on to the boat handles. I don't think it's near as rough out there today. But there were times yesterday, people, I kid you not, and I've been out on the water since I was a kid. I've never seen the water and the boat kind of triangulate 90 degrees where my gunwale is like almost at the waterline and I'm looking at Patrick Walters against the sky. I don't think I've been flying, and he was driving a Falcon bass boat, and their motto is let's fly or something like that. And we flew yesterday numerous times. And that landing is just not any softer than it used to be.
But you know what? On that note, since we're talking about Falcon, proudly made in
Newberry, South Carolina,
talk about the ride of that boat in those conditions yesterday.
I will. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about that. We're going to bring in Clifford Weedman from Stanley and Hale Lures and talk a little more about the Classic and all. But, yeah, it was a day yesterday. So hang on through the break. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side.
On Friday.
This should be a regular thing. We should have Classic previews every year.
Well, we will. Well, we have. You just haven't been around.
Have?
Yeah, you haven't been there. But we're eating up time here because we're talking to Patrick Walters, who made a I'm not going to say splash. He made his mark on his freshman year on the Elite Series last year. He had one tournament this year. Patrick, you weighed in the largest bag of the tournament at Palatka on Sunday and kind of redeemed yourself from Saturday. And I want to talk a little bit about that, but thanks for taking time to be on Woods and Water South Carolina again.
Absolutely, Roger and Taylor. I'm really happy to be here with you guys. And Roger, I'm not going to lie, I like the new music. I was getting kind of pumped up listening to that. Thank you. But I'm really excited to be here. And one thing I like best, it's the Classic preview.
It's
like
the
you
Classic
said,
preview.
That's a good sign. If I'm in this conversation, we're going to the Classic this
that's
year.
That's exactly right. Take us back. St. John's, I mean, the first, it was, two windy days got canceled. Saturday was not the best day, I don't think, for many people on the water. Your fellow South Carolinian Brandon Cobb had one fish for 1 pound, 4 ounces. You had about almost 10 pounds, not a little over 9.5. Talk about Sunday, because you told me that you were running all the way to Dexter, and that's about as far as you can go on the St. John's from Palatka.
Well, to tell you the truth, I found an area south of Dexter in practice. It was on the second day of practice. It was Mud Lake, I think it is the name of the lake. It's actually about 45 to 50 minutes south of Dexter.
Oh, my
goodness.
It was
about an hour and 50-minute run one way. And I found that the second day of practice, and I could just see fish everywhere. They were just swimming around. And I knew it was going to be a great area. So we had the one day of practice, and then we had the off day. And, I mean, I was chomping at the bit to get down there because I knew the fish were in there. I was like, I had a couple bites in other places in the river in practice.
Sure.
But practice really was not that good. So I knew if I could go down there and say catch 12, maybe.
Oh, boy. just too much fun. Sorry about that. The software that I used to remote, something happened at the studio level. They had to turn it off and turn it back on. That's why you came on and you were listening to Patrick Walters. So, live radio.
When this
it's always an adventure.
When this started, I told you we were going to win the hour. We were going to overcome our challenges, and we were going to win the hour. And
we're close.
That was the equivalent of breaking one off on a stump. And so now we've retied. We're ready to go, and we'll catch the next one.
And we retied with a big nasty.
The big nasty.
Want to welcome a friend of ours who, gosh, Clifford, I guess we first met maybe in 2015?
Somewhere around there.
Yep. Clifford Weedman, I guess you officially you're not in Lufkin anymore. You're in
Huntington, Texas.
And he was just a little south of Lufkin. And working for Stanley, for Lonnie Stanley and John Hale.
Yeah, it's
legends.
Pretty cool. Two fishing legends, and my office is right in between both of them, and I hear the stories all day long.
Well, I want to start off, first of all, thanking you very much for having Taylor and I down last fall to fish.
Oh, yeah.
It was great, yeah.
Except for the day y'all tried to leave.
Yeah.
We tried.
Taylor's forgotten the day after we fished, and let's don't go there. But anyway, yeah, thanks for having us down. That was quite an honor and privilege to fish with Lonnie and John, and of course you and Neil. We fished with Clifford too. I was waiting to see her reaction because
Roger and I fished.
That is correct because let it be documented that Neil does not like to chase schooling fish. So standing on the front of a boat with a rod armed like a lifesaver and being spun in directions that make you dizzy, waiting for the water to boil, is not my idea of a good time. But having the opportunity to spend time on a boat with you two and watch you fish was very satisfying.
Well, let me clue you in on something. You wouldn't have liked the last time we fished.
Oh, no, not at all.
Oh, me. It's okay.
This is no lie. I can be on Hartwell when my friend that I fish with at home, and when I see fish start schooling, I will sit down in the boat.
And for those of you who don't bass fish, and I know there's a lot of you out there that don't, there is a – there is a – I won't call it a sickness, but there is a certain excitement when the fish come up schooling, and it just grabs you, and you can't leave, you can't stop.
Right.
And that's I've watched guys in tournaments stay in one spot all day long within 50, 75 yards, mm-hmm. because that's where those fish are schooling, and inevitably, those fish come up 10, 15 yards outside the range, and by the time they're on the trolling motor, and the fish are down again.
Right.
So it can be very frustrating. It can be very exciting, too.
Yeah, it's sort of like that gopher game at the carnival where you sit there and you wait for the gopher to stick his head up. Whack-a-mole. Because you don't know where they're going to come up, so it's an anticipation.
It is, and it's like once you're started, you're like, I'm not stopping now. Like,
that's right.
I'm on them. I'm not going to stop till they stop.
And it's like you catch one, and it just pulls you in a little more.
Or you miss one and you want to go back and get it.
That's right.
And that's generally what happens for me, and that's probably why I dislike it. But really what perplexed me when this conversation started was how you were reflecting on yours and Taylor's invitation to go fish.
Yes.
Well, there was an invitation that apparently got lost in the mail, and that was mine.
Well, the invitation was for Taylor to go fish, and of course I had to go to chaperone her.
See?
That's why they really would have left me at home too if she was old enough to get on a plane and go by herself. So don't feel bad.
Mm-mm.
I was a necessary evil.
I'm
but
not.
Hey, Hey, we got to keep in mind that Thursday, Neil, you would have hated your life.
Was that school 40 and fish
degrees,
day?
43.
40, yeah, 40 degrees, raining, and school and fish. You would have been crying.
There was only one other boat on the lake.
Yeah.
That would be Keith Combs.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yep.
But it was good. Okay, all right. Okay, we've aired our laundry enough here on the... But, yeah, I enjoy a school and fish bite. Obviously, Neil does not, and, you know. That was funny, though.
I think...
I'm sorry.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking about this. Really, this is kind of how you fish is a reflection of your personality. So,
oh,
like,
no.
You enjoy school and fish, like, and you're all over the map sometimes, and I'm kind of lethargic and a little lazy sometimes, and I like to throw a jig. So, I mean, I can see where this all works. And
Neil,
Clifford,
Neil,
you're kind of in that, too. All over the place.
Oh, I'm totally all over the place. Vertically, horizontally. Don't ever get me around the kitchen.
No.
Because well, otherwise your kitchen
see, I was
will
hoping we were
going to
stay
tattoos.
Away from the kitchen
yeah.
thing. Clifford, talk to us. And we got about 3 minutes. History of the place that you're working at.
Yeah, one of the places where I work at, Stanley Jigs, is we just celebrated our 40th anniversary. Started 40 years ago in College Station out of a construction shed. Naturally, the founder, Lonnie Stanley,
yep.
He's bought a little work shed for $500 off a construction site and told his wife one night, I want to build fishing lures. So if you know anything about jig fishing, Lonnie Stanley changed jig fishing.
Right.
And then a couple years later, he came out with the vibroshaft spinnerbait and then the wedge spinnerbait, which is all made right there. So that revolution. What he created is just, it really changed bass fishing, you know. And then now we make the ribbit frog. So we've got three baits that just really changed it. It started the Share Lunker program on what it's called. It's won a couple classics. So, I mean, there's a lot of history there for sure.
And Taylor, I know that we fished with John Hale, and Lonnie Stanley had you in his office showing you his grandkids and stuff like that. And one of the takeaways, I mean, you've told me this many times, is that time with those guys, listening to them and knowing their history.
It was
and then you get to and then you got to spend time with them. I mean, John Hill was back there showing us all the molds and and the supplies and all that. And it's just it's your age to get that kind of exposure, thanks to Clifford, is just incredible.
It is. And seeing, like, hearing their stories the day before we went out with them and then fishing with John Hale on his boat, you saw him in action, and it was kind of like, whoa. Like, you really – when you talk about these stories, it is true because it's told through how he fishes.
You know, you caught a kind of a nice bass on that trip.
Kind of a nice bass, yeah.
And but it wasn't on your rod and reel.
It wasn't. It was actually it was John Hale's rod and reel, and I almost had a heart attack, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm actually holding John Hale's reel and rod.
Don't break them. And you got a nice bass on.
I did.
Yeah, we caught a whole lot of fish that second day, and we caught a whole bunch of fish the first day. So
yeah, we did.
And it was totally different, two different types of weather conditions.
Totally different both days. Yeah. And we're going to come back and talk about Stanley some more and all, but thanks for coming and sitting in. That's your first time on.
Yeah, no problem.
And that's the nice thing about coming, being live from the Bassmaster Classic. You have the opportunity to get somebody like Clifford to come in, who's otherwise a telephone call, which is not near as much fun.
Sure.
But you don't have a booth here. You're just kind of wandering?
I am everywhere.
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 And that's the fun thing about coming
that's
to Classic.
That's the fun thing. Yes, it is.
All right. Hang on through the break. We might get to something substantiated after all, but if we don't, we're having fun.
That's it.
Hang on. More Woods and Water, South Carolina on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Has been a lot of fun. Got a lot of people watching. Outdoors Tennessee, Herb Batson. Thanks, Herb. Joy's tuned in. Uncle Steve's here. Tom Pelfrey. Bass live in one ear and you guys and gals in the other. Bass fishing overload. That may be the truth. Going to be watching a little bass live.
God bless Tommy.
Yeah.
He's got us in one ear. Holy. If he's got Zona in one ear and us in the other, he's... He's probably warming up to Carl on the way to the bar. This will be happy hour somewhere.
Bless.
But
oh,
thank
me.
You, but thank you.
During the break, we marveled at Neil's inability to ring the trash can with a Coke can.
Yeah, I did. You know, usually at one point in time in my life, I was coaching basketball this time of year, and then we got fired. Obviously, you see why, because I can't hit the trash can from 6 feet with a Coke can. So I tell people we didn't get fired. It was really health reasons. The school got sick of us, and so
got rid of you.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And now look at you in the industry. That's just an incredible place to just be.
Oh, this is, you know, listen, here's the thing. I've been extremely blessed, okay? And I think, Clifford, I think you could attest to this as well. So I'll say this and get out of your way, but I have relationships due to fishing that I have to remind myself just in the 5 years that these relationships have developed, I have to remind myself that they haven't been lifelong relationships because the relationships are that important.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like we're almost a big fraternity of brothers.
Yeah.
Is what we are.
And sisters. Sorry, Taylor. And we sisters. Won't leave you out. You haven't quite made it there yet, but you're
getting
there.
She's getting closer. For sure.
She's getting closer. but you're exactly right. And you know, we were talking to the two high schoolers that were fishing today. From Briarwood Christian.
Yeah. Two-time high school national champions.
You know, that some bassaholics, people that love bass fishing, all they dream about coming to a classic, and these kids at 17, 18 are fishing.
Yeah, that's just totally mind-blowing.
Clifford, I want you to tell us a little bit of, you know, you revolutionizing fishing, jigs, spinnerbaits. What are some of the things that make what Lonnie Stanley and John Hale have done? What are their things?
Well, you know, the big deal with the Stanley jig, I mean, it was a bait that everyone used in the 80s, 90s, and still currently today. One of the things that a lot of people don't know is Lonnie created the hand-tied silicone skirts. So all these hand-tied silicone skirts,
right,
they started off with Lonnie and his business partner. So that was a big deal that a lot of people don't know. The balanced jig, he takes a lot of pride in the way a jig sits, how close it sits to the bottom, how far it stands up, the balance part.
Okay.
The weed guard. You can give him all credit to that. Lonnie said some of the first weed guards that he ever made was he off of artificial Christmas trees, and he had put them together and make a weed guard of it. So, and then going to the spinnerbait, a big deal is what they call the vibra shaft. You know, a lot of people just use a stain width wire spinnerbait from top to the blade, where his is thick to where you tie it, and then it's thin to the blades, causing it to have more vibration. And then the wedge spinnerbait, which is super popular, a lot of people still talk about it, actually came created between Lonnie and the influence of Rick Klun.
Oh.
And what's special about that blade is it's actually thinner, and then as the blade goes towards the end, it actually gets thicker, so it creates more of a vibration. So when you combine silicone skirt, the vibra wedge, and the wedge blade together, you've got one heck of a spinnerbait that people still use today.
Well, I've heard Rick Klun talk about that. Water displacement is so important with the spinnerbait.
Right. That's a big thing that Lonnie does talk about, and that's the thing that the wedge does.
Product testing's a lot.
Product testing's a whole lot, for sure.
And you get to do a lot of it.
I do, and I get to hear a lot of the stories from the days. So it's a... You know, one of the stories that Lonnie tells you, and I won't stay on it too long.
Oh, go right ahead.
It talks about why he quit smoking. Because he was leading a bass tournament, had the winning fish on, camera guys come around real quick, and they tell him to put out the cigarette. Well, about the time when he had set the hook, the cigarette hit the line, broke his line, and Rick Klun wins the tournament. He said, I quit fishing. I quit smoking.
Quit smoking.
Yeah. So it cost him a major BASS tournament from smoking. So those are stories you don't hear, you know. So as I worked there longer with them, I get to hear these stories. Because as a kid, Saturday morning, on the original ESPN, there was Sportsman's Challenge with Lonnie Stanley. So, and he had that for 17 years. So, and one other thing a lot of people don't understand is Lonnie and Brian Texas was part of the Brian Bassmasters. They had a big, huge write-up in Bassmasters back then because they were like the first club that ever had catch and release bass tournaments.
Really?
Used to, when you had a bass tournament, you were done, everything went in the cooler, you had a big bit of fish fry at the boat ramp. So, yeah, he was one of the first ones to do it. His original job was to haul the release tank around to the tournaments.
But to that thought, and we haven't brought this up in this entire hour that we've talked about, let's talk, and I wrote about this a few weeks ago at home, but the debt of gratitude as an industry that we owe Ray Scott.
Right.
This is the 50th Bassmaster Classic.
Yep.
And walk through that expo and think about the number of people that are employed, the products that we have, from boat motor all the way down to soft plastics, that's of the things that we have, and we owe him a big thank you. Right. Because without tournament bass fishing, which he's essentially the godfather.
We're not sitting right here right now.
I mean, we're all doing something today, but it's not this. You know, without his vision and his willingness to put this type of event together that now has sustained 50 classics strong. Yeah. Think about the number of, and somebody actually wrote about this recently, and I don't remember the numbers, but the different professional sports organizations that have started and failed within the last 50 years, and tournament bassmaster, we're gonna sit in an arena tomorrow and watch some guy's gonna bring 5 fish to the stage, 15 for 3 days. He's gonna win $300,000 and he's gonna be a champion for life. And there's gonna be 15,000 people in that arena, and we're just weighing fish.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
And it's funny you say that. Yesterday, during one of the lulls where Patrick was trying to, as he told me, he's trying to exercise the demons type, you know, just trying to figure out what he's supposed to do and all. And he's up on the front deck and he's wired in. He's talking to his video guy. He's got a guy that's following him this week and all. And so that's partially on his mind. And he turns around. A lot of times I can't tell if he was talking to me or talking to him. I know he's whispering. He's talking. He's loud. But he turned around and looked at me. He goes, Roger, 3-day tournament changed the rest of your life.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, he fished in high school, college, you know, now he's an elite angler, and he qualified through the Opens. I mean, he's triple qualified to come in the elites, got the invitation. But even he realizes, and it was not like, the way he said it was not at all like flippantly. It was an awe. It's like 3 days, and it changes your life.
And I think it's really cool it bears mentioning that this is the 50th Classic, and I think I'd like to know the trivia on this, but is this the first Classic since the first Classic where there's no Classic champion in the field?
I don't know.
There's
not.
There's no previous Classic champion in this field.
Well, I think there's 33 guys who have fished in a Classic before.
30 or 33 guys that this is their very...
They fished in a Classic before.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. But never won one.
Never won one. Which leaves... 23 guys who this is their first.
That's right. But you know, Bobby Murray won the first Bassmaster Classic in 1971, and I'd have to go back and look, but I would assume he fished others past that.
Right.
You know, but it'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. Is this the first Classic to have no previous Classic champion in it? And if it is, I think it's only fitting that it would take place on the 50th year. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, you asked me, Neil, at the break, how'd that Falcon ride? I think the Falcon rode really well. Like I said, I haven't been beat up by that in a long time.
But explain, too, I mean, that was a conditions thing yesterday, boat thing.
Yeah. You know, they Falcon they're a young company, very young company. I mean, Anthony Gagliardi is one of their first pros, and I remember Stephen Waller being after him to take a ride, and he's like, "No, I'm a Ranger guy, you know, I'm good." And he tells the story that one morning there's a knock on his back door, and as Stephen Waller pulled up to his boat dock, says, "I want you to come ride with me." He's been after him for a while to ride this boat. He brought the boat to Anthony's backyard to the dock, and he's been and so they're a young company, Newberry, South Carolina. We were just at their booth earlier today, and they brought a new F-20 Predator. And they're starting to trick it a little bit. It's got speakers. It's got music, which is a new one. They've redesigned the console. It's got a one-piece molded seat panel with the boxes molded in now. It's not a drop-in box anymore. And they've made some changes to the ride. And one of the things we were talking about, you know, their boats, their boats react differently. They're built differently. I mean, a very short jack plate, as opposed to it reacts better with a short jack plate than a longer jack plate, which is opposite from other boats.
Right.
They've done some hull tweaks this year, which have really helped. You know, I know porpoising on startup and all is something they struggle with, but they've solved. And man, that boat yesterday, I never noticed hesitation when he put the gas to it. That thing popped up on plane and was gone. And we were being followed by a 21-foot Ranger, and they hated life yesterday. Wet, heavy. We got wet coming from the bridge at Browns Creek to the boat ramp, but we were coming in the wind, 3 to 4 foot rollers up in there. It was just going to happen sooner or later. But that ride is it was a great ride, other than takeoff.
Well, and knowing now that Stephen will actually bring a boat to your house,
yeah.
I'm going to send him my address. You send him your address, and you send him yours, and let's see how that works out.
It won't work out very well, I'm sure.
None of us are on the water. And he came parked at Anthony's backyard.
Yeah, that's right.
On the water.
Yeah, and like when I rode it for the first time, I'm like, well, all boats ride good in calm water.
Sure.
So the last year when I was down, it was white capping. And it would just, man, it rode so good. I mean, you don't like your back doesn't get beat up. So it was refreshing on that part.
I mean, my muscles are tired today and sore. My right shoulder hurts because I really thought I was coming out of the boat at one point. But I didn't. And it's an exceptional boat and a South Carolina-based company. So if you're in the market for a bass boat, I can recommend it. If you're in the market for some jigs and spinnerbaits, call that guy over there.
That's right.
and if you're looking for a place to have a tournament, call me.
Call me.
We'll have you.
Taylor, you don't bring anything to the table, do you?
Food. No, I'm sorry.
But we're going to get some food. But we're going Cherry to get pie. That life jacket. Right.
I guess.
Thanks for tuning in. Make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can, and don't forget the camera. Back next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'm gone.